lift up the authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in the English language that's before you in the pew. And turn with me to the Old Testament scripture of the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. And we're reading some verses 1 to 11 of the chapter 3 of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah this stay, and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall be he of himself proudly against the ancient, and the beast against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of the brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this room be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing, make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of his doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Ending our lesson at verse 11, and God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. Amen and amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. A.D. 2003 can mean tragedy for your soul, or can mean triumph for your soul. If you are a child of God, It can be a year of triumph. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. If you are unconverted, unsaved, unwashed, unregenerate, still on the broad road that ends in everlasting hell, it can be tragedy for you. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him. Which is it going to be? Is it going to be triumph or tragedy? That's the question that you've got to answer in the presence of Almighty God this night. Now the book of that we have, the blessed word of God, the Bible, is a book of great divides which cannot be passed over. Its lines of demarcation are all clearly drawn and they cannot be removed. The division of mankind in all ages, from the first page of human history written in the Bible to the last page of divine prophecy written in the Bible, reveals a sharp line of demarcation, a division between the righteous and the wicked. In the dawning of man's history, after man fell and rebelled against God, his Creator, this bold dividing line became a stark reality. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent have been in perpetual confrontation ever since. The line of nature and the line of grace are the same. They don't change. And the line of grace never amalgamates with the line of nature. And the line of nature never amalgamates with the line of grace. The clearest distinction remains. The righteous are God's sheep. The Bible tells us that in plain language. The wicked are the devil's goats. The Bible tells us that in plain language. God will always have a seed on earth who will serve him, but the devil will always have a seed on earth that will serve him. The wicked are the devil's people. They are pawns on the devil's chessboard. They are devil blinded and hell glorified. The God of this chloroform, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their heart. There is a crimson line that divides God's people from the devil's crowd. That division is a division of the blood mark. What divides a child of God from the sinner? God sees in the child of God the blood mark. When I see the blood, I will stand guard over you, and the destroyer will not destroy you. The blood of the Lord Jesus is the great separator. There is only one thing that can get you across the line from the devil's crowd to God's people, and that is the marvelous work of faith. Only faith can bring a wicked person from wickedness to salvation. There's no thing, such a thing as to be spiritually dead and spiritually alive at the same time. There's no such thing as betweenites. There's no such thing as amphibious dwellers in grace and out of grace. There are no mongrel nondescripts who are neither sinners nor saints. A man is either a sinner or a saint. He is either wicked in the eyes of God, or he is righteous in the eyes of God. So you tonight, dear hearer of this sermon, you need to search your own heart and let the light of God's scrutiny shine into the inward recesses of your soul, and you should answer honestly and clearly the question, am I alive unto God, or am I dead in trespasses and in sin? What side am I on, the side of Satan or the side of Christ? And what am I, the poet wrote, my soul awake, and an impartial prospect take. There's no dark sign, no ground of fear, in practice or in my heart appear. What image does my spirit bear? Is Jesus formed and living there? Say, do his lineaments divine in thought, in word, and action shine? What side of the line of demarcation are you on? Don't ask that question and then try to put it away from you. Ask it and answer it, because your soul's destiny rests upon the answer to that question. As far as the righteous are concerned, God says in the authoritative power of his inspired book, it is well with him. It is well with the righteous man always. This is not a qualified assurance. This is an unqualified assurance. It does not say it will be well with the righteous when he's in prosperity, when the sun is shining and the day and climate is good. It does not say that in the day of adversity it will not be well with the child of God, whether there be prosperity or adversity, whether there be night or day, whether there be the stillness or the storm, whether there be the health or the sickness, whether there be calamity or comfort, it is always well with God's child. It is well with my soul. You remember a young Samuel, and God spoke to him. And young Samuel as a lad said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel as a child knew it was well with those that were on the Lord's side. Take the old man Moses, after 120 years of age. He's just as fit in his body as he was when he commenced his ministry and attacked the gods of Egypt. And it was well with Moses at 120 years of age, because God said, it shall be well with the righteous. 'Tis well when joys arise. 'Tis well when sorrows flow. 'Tis well when darkness veils the skies and strong temptations blow. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness who can tell? In time, until eternal days, 'tis well with the righteous. It is well. Is it well with your soul? Secondly, this is not only the blessed assurance for the righteous, it announces a blessed future for the righteous. Please notice this text is in the future tense. It says, it shall be well. Remember in Job, there is a text that says, in six troubles I will be with thee, and in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Job 5 and verse 19. There is no end to the safety and the well-being of a child of God. It is well with him forever. As long as God lives, it will be well with God's people. And God never dies. And the saint of God will never be unwell as far as God is concerned. Let the world be in an uproar, and it's in an uproar tonight. Let the great rivers Euphrates, which prophecy tells me is going to be dried up before the Lord comes. Let its waters be licked up with tongues of forked flame. Let the mountains burn. Let the oceans evaporate. Let the sun and moon and stars fall from the lofty heights of heaven. It matters not. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And it's always well with the soul that's trusting Jesus Christ. It can't be otherwise. Thirdly, divine authority is behind this declaration. God says, it shall be well. I don't care whether a million devils scream, it will not be well with the child of God. Omniscience shall prevail. If God says it will be well, it shall be well, and the whole world declares against it, we can scorn the entire universe and laugh at the whole world. When God blesses, it is blessing indeed. And when his lips pronounce anything, his pronouncement is omnipotent. He's the Almighty God, and nothing, 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 nothing can prevail against the authority of God. Fifthly, it is bound to be well for us who believe in Jesus, because victory is already ours. It was well with us, and God wants us to know that. Why? Because blessed be his name, he has saved us from our sins. The great tormentor of the human soul is sin. But here is a sea of never-failing delights. Here is a river that bursts on the soul of man with boundless joys. Here is a treasury that is filled with glorious gold, shining silver and precious stones. Dear child of God, rejoice tonight. It is well with you because God has dealt with your enemy, the enemy of sin. It has been dealt with by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's bound to be no problem now because the problem has been solved by Christ at the cross. I love that hymn, "My sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." The greatest trouble has been dealt with, the problem of sin. The second greatest problem has been dealt with, the power of sin. Jesus Christ not only cleanses us from the guilt of sin, but he cleanses us from the power of sin. Here is a charter of liberty to every child of God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Holiness is guaranteed to every child of God. Victory over sin's power is yours in the promises of this book. The captivity of sin is broken. The chains are smashed. The prison door is open. The prisoner, the prison itself, is blown to smithereens. The truth has set us free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The mightiest power in all the universe is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is ours in Christ. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Receive your birthright, child of God. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God, and he'll do it. And you'll have a power that no power in hell can conquer or assault. And then we have the greatest mercy seat to approach. Hear this, dear Christian, tonight. It is well with thee. All things are yours, whether things present or things to come. Whether it be life or death, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. There you have the rock of ages, cleft for you. Make sure you're hiding in that rock. Then something else. It is well with the child of God, because death is already vanquished. It is well for the child of God at death. I led a man to Christ many years ago. I was at his bedside when he died in the old city hospital. And I remember sitting at the bed, and I said to him, "I'm going to repeat with you the 23rd Psalm." He was very weak, but with a lisping voice, he repeated it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we went down the psalm. And then we came to that verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And he repeated the words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And then he said to me, "Mr. Paisley," and his wife was there, "I want you both to raise me up on this pillow." So we raised him up on the pillow. Now he said, "Mr. Paisley, repeat your verse." And I said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And that man, whose voice was weak and could hardly be heard, shouted. The whole ward heard it. "I will fear no evil." Why? Because that man had the victory and knew that it was well with his soul. Death is vanquished. for the soul. But let me say, finally, it's well for the Christian, not only at death, but it's well for the Christian beyond death. Because beyond death is the glory. Forevermore to behold Christ shine. Forevermore to call him mine and see him still before me. Forever in his face to gaze and meet his full assembled rays, while all the power he displays to all the saints in glory. What a wonderful thing to have this testimony in our hearts. Say unto the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But I must turn to the page of tragedy now. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands will be given him. What we have said of the righteous will in reverse apply to the wicked. There is one special change. The well-being of the righteous is not taken in isolation. Would you please look with me at verse 10? It says, "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him." There is the singular. But then it suddenly changes to the plural, "For they shall eat the fruit of their doings." Here we have the triumph of the righteous. The righteous man doesn't triumph in isolation. He triumphs in association with all the other people of God. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. But look at verse 11. There is no change in this verse. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. In contrast, the wicked remained in dark separation. A man said to me once, "I'd be glad to go to hell. There'll be so many of my friends in hell." I said, "Yes, but you'll not see one of them. You will be in the loneliness of hell. And it wouldn't matter if millions are in the cells next door to you. You'll be completely in isolation forever." This man is a damned soul. But the isolation of the damned soul is underscored in this book. He's damned alone. He remains alone throughout the unending ages of eternity. The damned soul is entire isolation forever. What a dreadful dimension to the damnation of the Christless. It is ill which brings the sinner to the eternal woe of God. Woe, woe, woe unto you! If you would escape that eternal isolation in hell, then you must be fleet of foot this night to get to the cross. I'm glad the gate of eternal mercy is not yet shut. The opportunity of entering in still lies ahead of you. The open gates point out an entering that you can make. May divine help enable you, sinner, this night to escape the wrath of God. A sinner friend, don't you be deceived because of your present state of happiness. You may be prosperous. You may be light-hearted tonight. You might feel happy, but do not be deceived. When the first blast of judgment overflows your refuge of lies in which you are hiding, you will learn then what it is when God says it shall be ill with you. There is a death whose pang outlasts the fleeting breath. Oh, what eternal horrors hang around the second death. Lord God of truth and grace, teach us that death to shun, lest we be banished from thy face and evermore undone. If you died tonight, would you be undone forever? It shall be ill with him. O dear unsaved soul, flee this night from the wrath of a sin-hating God. Flee to Jesus while the gospel opportunity still awaits you. I trust that all of us in this house of God, this meeting house for gospel preaching, by the free grace of God, will be able to praise God as long as immortality shall last in the heaven of heavens, and as long as God's throne, high throne, endures there. May God bring us to the place, every one of us, where it is well with our souls. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the solemnity of this gospel service. We thank thee for the truth of thy holy word and the searching words that we have heard. Thou dost know everyone in this house, and thou hast said to them, it is well with thee. Thou dost know everyone to whom thou hast said, it is ill with thee. O God, bring men across the line tonight by faith in Christ. May they forsake their sins by confessing and finding pardon and deliverance and victory at the cross. And may they come to Jesus and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Write the solemn, simple words that we have heard this night upon every heart. And may there be a real coming to Christ and a real trusting in the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I am going directly to this room behind me. Dear unsaved friend, I'm here at this service to help you to Christ. Don't leave this meeting lost and undone and without God and without hope. Let's have a talk about this matter tonight after this service. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us a way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tender, saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I pray, God, it may be well with your soul this night, for Jesus' sake.